Immigration is a hot-button issue this election year, nowhere more so than in Arizona, home to Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Arpaio, whose jurisdiction includes Phoenix, likes to make big, in-your-face statements. He has deputized hundreds of civilians to take part in sweeps of immigrant neighborhoods. The sweeps have produced more than 900 arrests of illegal immigrants and lots of TV time.
You said that you don't want us back here tomorrow? Is that what you said? Well, we will be back here tomorrow, full force. If you don't like the way I operate, you go get your own police department.
America's toughest sheriff. Meet the man arresting so many illegal immigrants, he had to build a prison tent in the desert for the overflow.
This month, Sheriff Arpaio lost state funding for his neighborhood sweeps, though he's vowing to continue. Republican presidential candidate John McCain, himself from Arizona, neither condones nor condemns Arpaio's approach. McCain saw his attempt to legislate federal immigration reform fail last year amid splits in his own party.
I have never seen an issue that has inflamed the passions of the American people the way the issue of immigration reform has, ever, including Iraq. I've never heard such rhetoric. We have never received death threats before like I received. It is unbelievable.
In Arizona, voters have approved a string of anti-immigration initiatives in recent years. They've decided that English is the state's official language. They've approved a move to toughen sanctions on businesses that employ illegal immigrants. And they have voted to prohibit undocumented students from paying cheaper in-state tuition at state colleges and universities. All this has made Arizona an unwelcome, sometimes frightening place for illegal immigrants. And not just for them, for their children as well. The World's Patrick Cox reports from Phoenix.
This past January, right after winter break, Bob Jones paid a visit to one of his schools. Jones is the superintendent of an elementary school district in Phoenix with responsibility for 3,500 children. The school he visited was in a mainly Hispanic community.
And the principal there meets me at the door and says, "Geez, Bob, we're missing 500 kids today." I said, "How can that be?" We start digging into trying to find out, and it happened that the week before that, they had done a sweep through the entire neighborhood in front of the school looking for illegals in that particular area. So the parents were panicked.
It turned out that kids were missing from other schools, too. Jones and his teachers contacted the parents and tried to reassure them.
Slowly, we were able to recoup the kids back within about a two-week period. We still never recouped 200, 250 of the kids. I'm left to assume that they went back to Mexico or they are living somewhere else, you know, because they're afraid.
Here's where one illegal family still lives, behind a body shop in a light industrial zone. In the dark apartment, it's someone's birthday. This is the home of Jose and Maria Razo. They've lived in Phoenix ever since they snuck across the border 15 years ago. Jose Razo runs the body shop. A couple of months ago, Sheriff Arpaio brought his deputies to this neighborhood. Ever since then, Jose Razo says he and Maria have been extra careful.
No salimos casi a ningún lado.
We hardly go anywhere, he says. We just go out for groceries or parts for the shop. That's it.
Queremos estar aquí hasta que ya casi agarren y nos...
This is Maria Razo. She says, "We're going to stay here till someone tells us to go. We're not going to leave until there's no hope left." The Razos' hopes are focused on their children now, in particular their son Jose, who graduated from high school this month. Jose is a stocky guy with spiky hair and a twinkle in his eye. He was born in Mexico. He was two when the family migrated north. That makes him an illegal immigrant, a fugitive of sorts, subject to deportation. Jose has a sister, also illegal, and two younger brothers.
Luckily for them, they're both citizens.
They were born in this country?
Yes, they were.
A few months ago, Jose received a letter from the school district. It said that any student without proof of legal residency would be ineligible for in-state college tuition. Maria Razo watched her son read the letter. She says it was as if his world had fallen apart. Jose had big plans for college. He wanted to get a business degree. And as the top student in his class, he had every chance of succeeding. He looked to his parents for support.
They said this is just a, they called it a pebble. It's just a pebble in your road. You have to not dwell on it and just walk around it and continue.
Still, Jose's situation led to some family soul-searching. Should the Razos ever have left Mexico? Was it fair to their son, who now has to deal with the consequences? Jose says it was only after his parents told him how bad things had been in Mexico that he understood why they took the risk to live here.
My dad, he was receiving tips like pumping gas and carrying grocery bags, so that was like his job. And he found out that I was in the way, and he said, I can't be able to support my family by just doing this. I'm going to have to look for something to better my family.
I listen to these people saying things like, an illegal baby is still an illegal. You know, but here's the thing. Why should my child be held responsible for something I did?
This is Yvonne Watterson. She's Jose Razo's fairy godmother. She's also the principal at Razo's school, Gateway Early College. It's a charter high school where students can take community college courses. But Razo and 37 other undocumented students could only take those courses if they paid out-of-state tuition, something none of them could afford. Watterson says students are being separated into legals and illegals, just like in the bad old days in her native Northern Ireland, when Protestant and Catholic kids were separated.
You know, my next-door neighbors, my best friend was a Catholic girl, and I remember all the houses on our row, everybody was Protestant, but then you turned the corner, and then my neighbor was Catholic, so we could talk to each other, you know, out our bedroom windows at night.
Watterson didn't want separation at her school. Late last year, she started raising money privately so that all her students, legal and illegal, could take the community college courses. She's raised more than $80,000 so far, but the cost per student over 4 years is more than $9,000.
Take out your notes so you can see exactly what goes into a persuasive speech. Your speech can be about anything. We did that.
Undocumented students are attending classes at the school in record numbers. In the 5 years she's been in charge, Watterson has turned things around. When she arrived, the dropout rate was 50%. Now it's 4%. The attendance rate was 50%. Now it's 94%.
And the reason why we have those numbers is because this predominantly Hispanic student body shows up every day. These undocumented students who face so much opposition and disappointment and adversity, they still come to school and they have tremendous resolve and, you know, in spite of everything, they keep going.
Mr. Luna and Mr. Cardenas, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share my story with you Friday evening.
Senior Noemi Ariza reads out a letter she's written to a school benefactor. She's undocumented and couldn't afford the college courses.
My parents don't have money to pay for, I can tell you, not even one credit, you know, I mean, that would...
What does your dad do?
My dad is a construction worker.
Noemi says her dad thinks he'll get laid off because of Arizona's employer sanctions law. But she says she's proud of her father, and he's proud of her.
He told me the other day, you know, the reason why we are still here and we don't go back to Mexico is because of you and your little brother. And until you guys don't achieve your dreams, we're not going anywhere. And I think that's where my motivation comes from.
What's next for Noemi, Jose Razo, and many other students is anyone's guess. Some talk of a forced return to Mexico. Some talk of moving to California, where attitudes toward illegal immigrants are less hostile. And some say they want to stick it out in Arizona. For The World, I'm Patrick Cox, Phoenix.